Hey everybody, Dan Hornacek here, your host for the Leading in the Frontlines podcast. Back again this week with more topics on how to better lead, whether in your personal life, at work, within your peer groups. Today we're going to focus a little bit more on at work. We're coming into Q2, which is exciting. Normally the pressure kind of comes off. Summer season comes in, everyone's typically pretty busy. Nice steady stream of work. I know that's how it is for me. And with that, one of the things I think is very important, the topic for today that I'll be talking about, is cross-departmental communication. Big corporate term, right? Basically, how are you communicating to other departments? How does that functionally impact positively or negatively each department that you are impacting? And I think especially today with as fast paced as everything is, everything's sort of interconnected. Effective communication is really crucial for any successful organization. But it definitely becomes more critical when it comes to communication between the different departments. So why is it so important? Let's kind of dive in. One of the things I'm going to be referencing as far as terms, I don't think a lot of people have heard this term. It's called silos. And silos is a term used for independent departments. So if you have, operations, administration, however your particular office or operation is set up, that's an individual silo. So just as an example, at like a package sorting facility, your package handlers can be a silo. The administrators on the sort can be a silo. Management can be a silo. Things like that. So that's what I'm referring to. Just a silo is an individual department. So coming into cross-departmental communication is really the power of collaboration. It's the backbone of any successful organization, and by really focusing in developing good departmental or communication, you're really encouraging collaboration between departments, which is kind of nice, because if you have, two people who really, I'll use the term vibe together really well, and maybe just have really good conversations, productive conversations about ideas and brainstorming, it's nice to be able to collaborate with one another, even though they might not necessarily be on the same day-to-day team. And you break down the silo effect. And what I mean by that is by creating barriers or space between departments. You're allowing a mix of expertise, ideas, problem solving, all improved decision making on whatever the issue might be. And really, you're essentially just bringing together diverse skill sets, or creating diverse skill sets by allowing people to brainstorm together. Employees may miss out on valuable insight. They might have duplicated efforts, and even work at cross purposes. And I think it's such, I think this happens often where there's too many chefs in the kitchen, and there might be a project that's happening within a building, and there's so many fingers in the project, but there's no communication between the individual silos. So now you're having duplicative work being done, which is just a waste of time for everyone. So how do you break these silos down, right? Silos can hinder your overall productivity, and we just kind of touched base on that with saying like duplicative work is the worst thing that could be happening. It's going to hinder the flow of information within a company, and without that communication between the departments, you're going to have a lot of things missed, or you're going to have to go back and re-explain things, which is just a total waste of time. By communicating, you're really optimizing all of your resources, because if you have people, key players in different departments, and they're not communicating, you're really breaking down, what could be getting accomplished. Everybody benefits by shared knowledge. I don't understand why by having, these barriers between departments, people find this to be a plus. Like, everything's a secret. What we're doing over, you know, over here, what we're doing, nobody can know. I don't understand how leaders expect there to be a unified vision within a company if no one knows what each other are doing. And if we can get things done quicker, then it's only going to be beneficial to the company. And two, from a developmental standpoint, if you've got people on your team, they might shine in something and find out that they could be utilized in a better manner in another department, which is great, because then they're just being developed to be a better employee. And now they have better buy-in and they feel more ownership towards this position because they were able to see themselves grow. And that all comes from that effective communication. And then when, you know, employees are feeling valued and connected to the broader idea of what, you know, the organization is, they're more likely to be engaged, more likely to be motivated, and ultimately more productive. I mean, this, I'm sure a lot of you who have been listening to this podcast for any period of time are starting to really see this trend on how creating this buy-in of a unified vision, right? Creating buy-in with your employees, engaging them to allow them to have ownership over their work, really is only going to benefit not only you as their manager, but the organization as a whole. You're just building a positive work culture. That's all you're doing. And you're encouraging a sense of collective responsibility. That's the dream, man. Collective responsibility between employees. That's like what every organization should be striving for. And the only way you can do that is if you're creating engagement and you're creating a positive work culture. So obviously, right, it said that's the dream. So there's going to be a lot of challenges that come along with that. And so while the importance of cross-developmental communication is clear in what we've been talking about, we have to really acknowledge that there's going to be things that are going to be challenging. You know, priorities between individuals. Someone might view something as more important as someone else. Working styles can create barriers to effective communication. You know, and overcoming these really requires a proactive approach from you as the manager. And really, and anybody who knows me knows that this is a huge, huge thing that I'm a proponent of. Any organization that you're a part of needs to invest in training programs, okay? They need to encourage the use of common communication tools, meaning this is how our work flows. This is how our communication is most efficiently used within our organization, whether that be, you know, email, if you guys use Teams, some type of like chat within work, phones, whatever it is, you should have, you know, an SOP in place for how people communicate most effectively with one another. And especially because by doing that, you're going to foster a culture that's going to promote open dialogue and active listening. Just by the sheer, just by having these things in place, you're going to start increasing active listening, which is really, really cool. And it's important to designate, you know, your number one person. I hate to use the term, but like it's kind of like your communication champion. If you have somebody who's really good at saying things in a way that people understand, to help facilitate, you know, the how the communication is going to move forward, who's going to actively monitor and make sure that everyone's getting communication, you're really going to bridge those departmental gaps if you have kind of like your number one person in each department. And if nothing else, if within your silo you just have that person, it's still going to be beneficial, because if you're going to be, at least your team and yourself will be more in the know on what's going on. So this will take time. It's going to take effort. I think one of the biggest problems within a lot of organizations today is the fact that managers don't want to take time or energy to to create these things. but it's kind of one of those investments where once you put the time in on the front end and you get it moving and you work out the kinks, it's just going to pay off dividends and give you more time in the future. The rewards that come from getting these things in place is really just going to allow you to better manage your team. The rewards are immense with this. It's going to lead to increased productivity, better decision-making, more cohesive and a resilient organization. Because again, you know, going back to the idea that you're creating this positive culture, you're creating this unified feeling between departments where it's not a defensive issue when someone brings something up to you. It's more of a collaborative issue. And, you know, talk about being able to diffuse the defenses between departments when someone brings something to them. It really, really helps with that. So again, I just wanted to kind of talk about cross-developmental communication. I think that it's one of the most important things that can happen just within an organization as a whole. And I think, you know, like I've mentioned many, many times before, it all starts with the manager. You have to be the one to foster this and maybe even, you know, directly, you know, not motivate, but create the pathway for it. I think that if you're the one maybe making introductions, maybe for the first little while, leading the conversations, even what I used to do is create projects that maybe from a priority level are pretty low, but just creating the environment that's going to foster departmental communication, I think is something that you can do. And honestly, it's kind of fun. I don't like to do the tacky, like, oh, let's do a Jeopardy game or anything like that. I've never really been a big proponent of those. I don't think people like them, to be honest with you. I think that it goes back to that ownership piece, right? If you want to create a positive culture and you want to create almost like a safe way for different departments to talk to one another, I think that creating a project or, you know, if you have kind of a low level project that needs to get done, utilize that as kind of the foundation of you as the manager building this communication. Maybe even you write the SOP for it. You know, one thing I think people too, when we talk about SOPs, not to get off subject, but these are living, breathing things. No SOP should be set in stone. And it should always be, I wouldn't say flexible, but adaptive to change within the organization. Because if you guys figure out a good communicative style and things change within the organization, another department is added, one's removed, things are going to have to adjust to stay, you know, as efficient and effective as they become once you get this in place. So you want to be able to kind of pivot and adapt with that when needed. So again, that's what I wanted to talk about today. I hope this was informative to you. I hope that it was able maybe to turn a light bulb on. I think that this should be on the top of everybody's list. Even if you have something in place or things are going well between departments, it's always something good just to kind of take a look at and reevaluate. There's always places to improve. So use this as kind of like ringing the bell to take a look at what's currently in place and how you can improve upon it. So again, my name is Dan Hornacek, host of Leading on the Frontlines podcast. Excited to be back. I hope everyone enjoyed the episode and have a great week.